Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero in the snow part, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And we are out here at Prime Social Club. Lots of poker going on. I think I heard Lance through my headphones over there making noise. I don't know whether that was a good noise or a bad noise. But, yeah, Lance Erline's still here playing. Granado's here. And a really fun place. So if you have not had an opportunity to get out here yet, it's on Westheimer. It's right next to Molina's. Very easy to find. And, you know, not too far from a lot of cool places to hang out, like Nick's place, and not too far from the station. And a really nice club, great food. The people here have been very, very friendly, and just been a good experience all the way around. What's your Longhorn score now?
56-48, 8:40 to go in the ball game.
So other than, obviously, Arizona, what has surprised you the most so far in this tournament?
Other than Arizona, almost nothing has surprised me. Well, other than
you're
Arizona.
Hitting every bet.
I'd have to give that some thought. I don't know that I've even been like even but besides Arizona, which by the way that did shock me. But besides that, I don't think I've even really been surprised at anything. I was surprised that Florida played so well last night. They looked really good, way better than I expected them to look. Other than that, everything's kind of gone the way I figured it would go. I got nothing.
All right, then.
No surprises, Fred. It's a chalk tournament.
A couple Texans moves today.
Okay.
That we haven't had an opportunity to discuss just yet.
You know, used to when you would say that, I would always have a fear that they had re-signed Tom Savage to be the backup quarterback. But now that I know that's impossible, I don't dread you saying that. Like, so when you say Texans news, I'm not like, oh, no.
No, it's not.
Actually,
there's still one thing that could scare you.
They re-signed Xavier Suafilo to a 7-year extension.
Yes.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, that I think is still kind of hanging around out there, right?
They make Kevin Johnson. They sign him to an extension. He's the highest paid corner in the league now.
Yeah, that would be bad news. But no, they first off, they claimed Sammy Coates off of waivers.
Okay.
Who I've always liked him. Just never quite turned into the player I thought he might be. But, you know, again, he's still relatively young. Maybe that's a guy who develops into something for you. Maybe
body.
Not. Yeah, it's another body at wide receiver. And they also signed cornerback Johnson Batamosi.
Johnson Batamosi.
He's a special team standout for the Patriots.
Okay.
And can play some corner, but mostly he's really good on special teams.
Special teams guy.
Which,
okay.
Hey, good for them.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know that name. But
27 years old, and he...
I guess if I was a real sports talk guy, I would have pretended like I know him.
No, I hadn't heard of him either. I'm not going to lie.
Okay,
when
good.
I saw that they signed him, I'm like, okay, where did this guy come? Oh, okay.
Because if I were a real sports talk guy, I would have been, I've seen him work. While I'm quickly Googling him. And then I said, yeah, he's awesome.
So did y'all just chop the whole thing? Yeah, they just chopped the whole thing at the final table.
There you go.
That's good. That's a nice little chunk.
I wish I would have hung around.
Yeah. Well, then you would have only missed the first hour and 5 minutes of the show. So
that's, 1,480 bucks per head.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad for an afternoon's worth of work.
Nope.
So, okay, so I
the guy that knocked me out. said he was the small stack, so he's very excited about this this turn of events.
Yeah, that's a good deal for him. But, okay, so the lady that was yelling at me, her husband was at the table playing with me and said that she was a fan of our show.
Oh, okay.
He did tell me that, so that's what that was about. So
she wasn't hitting her.
No, and it was kind of funny because he was asking Granato if I was there, and I was sitting right next to him. So, yeah, well, it's like
Granato should have said, no, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, it's like my ego took enough of a beating today between not being famous enough to be a bounty and – you know, getting knocked out of the tournament.
I actually was really happy not to be a bounty because when you're a bounty, there's no maybe they'll call, maybe they won't.
Oh, no. Yeah. But, see, you can also – it's also good because when you play that way, I mean, I'm not shoving unless I got the stones.
Right.
And it makes me play a little more conservative because I'm going to make them earn it. They're going to have to get lucky. And
it's just hard for people to respect your bets when there's money for knocking you out.
Yeah. Yeah, but it seemed to help those guys last a long time.
Yeah, look, maybe we just suck.
Yeah, maybe that's all it was.
Sometimes it works that way.
As far as the Texans are concerned, I went through all the transcripts from yesterday when they talked about what's left. They mentioned that they are Brian Gain basically said that they're not done yet. And I think they know
he's going to keep saying they're not done
until they're But I think he recognizes that they need a left tackle, and that's a position they've got to address somehow, some way. And he also directly responded to Tyrann Mathieu question. He says, as it relates to Tyrann Mathieu, any player that we feel is going to give us a chance to win football games that fits within our culture and within our program, within our budgetary means, we will consider. Budget wise, I mean, they've got almost $50 million still.
You know, Lance and I were talking about this, and so this may be I don't know if they talked about it on their show or not, but we were both talking about Tyrann Mathieu and how I like him as a player. I think Lance likes him as a player, although I think we both agree that maybe you're not going to get the best Tyrann Mathieu anymore. That may be gone. But the one problem that jumps out about Tyrann Mathieu is everybody in that secondary is small. And if you put him and Andre Howell next to each other, they're both – I mean, you got two small safeties. And Brian Gain comes from that Bill Parcells school of big bodies back there, big guys who can move, and they don't have a single one. You know, Andre Howell and Tyrann Mathieu are both undersized. Kevin Johnson's undersized. Jonathan Joseph, undersized. Kareem, undersized. Like, Brian Gain, like, he's probably already looking at this going, God – our secondary is so tiny; it's got to be driving him crazy. But that would be my one reason for thinking that maybe they don't want Tyrann Mathieu. By the way, 56-55 Texas now, 6:25 to go in the game. They're doing their best to blow this.
Honestly, that would be a horrible reason not to sign him. To me, you get the best player, and he's a better player than anybody they have on that roster. If you're worried about people being small, get rid of one of those small guys that suck and go get a big guy. Because this guy's a playmaker, he gets interceptions. He can get after the quarterback. I just think that would be a silly reason not to do it.
Schefter reports Michael Crabtree to the Ravens on a 3-year deal.
Interesting.
Unemployed for less than 24 hours. Good for him.
Yeah.
If he can not drop the ball, which basically his entire career he's been a possession receiver who doesn't drop the ball. And then last year, he was like the drop master. I don't know what happened to that guy. I like to think that last season was an aberration and not like he forgot how to catch a football because that's his job.
Yeah.
But last year, he forgot how to catch a football. So if he can, you know, he's still getting open. He can still make things happen if he can just catch the damn ball. I think he could be a help for Baltimore. They need a receiver.
Yeah, I think if he shows up as the player he was 2 years ago.
That's a good deal.
They've got themselves a good player. I'm not so sure Jordy Nelson's an upgrade over Michael Crabtree, but that's the direction they decided to go. I like the guy. I think he's got an opportunity to actually go and help a team, but the whole thing with the Raiders last year was just weird. He was bad last year. Amari Cooper was not what he was supposed to be last year. And I think that affected the whole offense. Derek Carr was hurt and didn't play well either, but really none of them played well. There wasn't one of those guys you can look at and say, yeah, he had a really good season. So I don't know what happened there last year. I don't. It was just weird.
Yeah, but they didn't do Derek Carr any favors, poor dude.
No.
Cooper, I understand. Cooper's always he's been a dropper. He's got a lot of explosiveness, and he can do a lot of great things, but he's never been the best hands guy. Crabtree, that's what you had him for. He was like the sure-handed guy, and he just – they both had pretty rough years last year, which that was a struggle for Derek Carr.
Yeah.
What this pedestrian bridge crash? Are you seeing this?
No. Where did this happen?
I can't see where it happened, but where was that? Florida?
No.
Okay.
I mean, well, it's on a local channel, so
yeah. Thoughts and prayers, then. But I'm not that concerned. I thought maybe that was here.
Yeah, we don't want that here. But all right, guys, you want to get in on some of the action? You want to follow Hoffman along here as he continues to just bang the heck out of the NCAA tournament? Well, go to MyBookie. They're going to take care of you. If you want to get in on the madness, MyBookie has you covered. Thousands of people, including me, are betting online with MyBookie.ag. And if you've been online before and you didn't get paid or you had to get some check from Singapore, well, that doesn't happen with MyBookie. And they're great. You win, they pay fast, without hassles, and you waste your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting, so if you want to jump in on something that's going on right now, they can do that. If you join now, MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. Just use promo code RADIO. You can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. Just use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
All I need is one mic. There's nothing else in the world. All I need is one mic.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Prime Social Club on Westheimer, where they just wrapped up the tournament and chopped for $1,600 each.
Not a bad day.
It's a pretty good afternoon.
Not a bad day.
Pretty good. So, yeah, a lot of fun out here, so come on, check it out. I will definitely be back. Definitely a really good tournament.
Yeah.
One of the Blitzers.
In a nice room.
Several Blitzers actually did well there. Two of the people who were at my table wound up making the final table.
That's good.
So, yeah, that's always fun to see, and I always like it when Blitzers win. So, UT, where are we at with them?
64-62.
Ooh, it's tightened up, huh?
2 minutes and 48 seconds left. They just called a foul on the floor that probably should have been a shooting foul. But, they're coming off the timeout. Texas got it down low to Bamba. He got hit. They said it was on the floor, so they inbounded.
Ah.
But they're doing a good job, though, running clock. They just got to make something happen at the end of this thing. Now.
And West Virginia, how are they doing?
Oh, and they just had a turnover. 65-53 is what it looks like from here.
Yeah.
That's a far TV, so I can't.
Yeah, they've got a lot of great TVs out here. If you're playing, it's perfect. Where we're sitting, we're kind of up in the, like.
Right, on like a stage.
Yeah, we're on what would be the ESPN featured table if
right.
we were playing. So having, it's a little hard to see everything, but. If you're playing, you can see everything great. They got a nice setup here. Thank you, my man. Thank you. Congratulations. Yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the mini winners.
Yeah. Yeah. That's he was one of the guys at the final table, and managed to walk out of here with some cash.
Yep.
But still, a lot of people here playing cash. If you want to get in the cash games here, and I mean.
What are you going to do? You going to hang out and play after?
No, we have dinner reservations tonight, so going to take the current future ex-wife out to a nice dinner.
And Texas misses the front end of the 1-1. So yeah,
that's a negative.
They're trying their best to blow this thing. Mm. That's the Texas way. and they just called a foul on what should have been a travel. So, yeah, Texas is going to blow this. I'm pretty certain.
Nope, they're not. They're not.
I'm due for something like this to happen.
No, I think they're going to pull this out. It's going to be close. It's going to be like last night where UH let those guys back in the game, and then and Rob Gray went nuts, and they won. It's going to be – Bamba's going to go nuts here down the stretch.
Yeah.
This is my prediction. I'm not the college basketball guy the way you are. But
I hope you're right.
I think the Horns pull this one out and actually pull away and win by five.
Okay. I would just prefer them to win by two. That's what I'm looking for. 64-63 now, 207 to go.
Yeah, it's just 207. That's what's going to happen. They're going to pull away and no problem whatsoever.
Okay.
So just quick plug for Sports Map. We have a story up now on the Altuve extension. We have Charlie Palillo's Palillog where he talks about UH and Rob Gray.
Palillog.
Rachel has a video up on the Texans. We had Jerry's betting guide, which did really well today as well. And he also has picks for every game. So if you want to go in there and play night games, just who he would pick. He has his actual plays at the bottom. There's like five.
Is he beating me?
I don't think he's beating you, but he's doing really well.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, both you guys are.
He should just be following my plays. Trust me, I'm a genius, Jerry.
We have a weekly look at all things Houston sports from the Harris County Sports Authority and Patty Smith. So are they up three now?
They're up three. Okay. I would have liked to and one there, but that's okay.
And
all right.
And Juggalo Trey has his NASCAR preview.
Oh, yes. Who's he got winning this week?
I don't remember because I did that at like 6 this morning. Oh, so, okay. You know,
you didn't pay attention to his story.
I did. But
how much editing do you have to do on my man Juggy's articles? A lot.
Okay. Yeah. And I just noticed I went back and looked at it. For some reason, the it didn't paragraph, so I got to go fix that on the next break. But yeah, it requires an awful lot of work. And
but you're getting good content from him.
Yeah, it's good content. It's not something that I would.
And you know what else it is? It's original content.
Well, it is. I know that much. I know that much.
Which is a priority.
And you know what, though? I like one of the things I like about doing Sports Map is giving people an opportunity to, I don't care about NASCAR at all, but he does. And there are people out there that do, and he does good work on it, and it gives him a chance to work on his skills and, help build himself up a little bit. And that's a good thing. And we've got a lot of, the one thing about Sports Map that I'm really proud of is we've got a lot of stars. You got you and Granato and people like that are established
AJ,
stars.
You've become very famous. Very famous.
Yeah.
You need to play that every day, John. that drop is the best drop we have now.
It's the best drop from the best people, from the best president. It's tremendous.
I don't understand why that's not being used once an hour.
But
you've become very famous.
It's got a combination of all these really big stars around the city. And we've also got a lot of people who are kind of getting started in their careers that I think have brilliant futures.
Yeah.
Especially some of the folks we have doing videos, like Rachel and Mindy and Holly.
So
and
the chicks,
like
you mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. But
you think the chicks are rising stars?
I think Jermaine's a rising star. I've got several male rising stars.
Okay.
And you know, you got Juggalo Trey this gig.
I did.
It was your suggestion, and it's working out fine.
Okay.
But, yes, it's a lot of work. If I'm not going to lie. There's some people that are much easier.
I'm easy, right?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But
so that kind of makes up for me recommending Juggalo Trey, who's not easy.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has things that you have to do to their copy, but it's when I have like eight stories to do in a morning, you really appreciate when you don't have to do much to somebody's story.
Right.
And, you know, it's especially if I start with somebody who's really difficult to edit, it takes a lot of work and a lot of oversight. It's just you really appreciate when you get like Patty, who writes for her Insider for us from Houston Sports Authority. Her stuff is completely clean. It's like I almost never have to change anything in that. And you get where you appreciate that because it makes your life easy.
That's right.
All right. Where are we at now?
68-67, Texas at the line, shooting 18.3 seconds to go.
Okay, so he's going to make both
free throws. Kerwin Roach at the line.
He's going to make both free throws. They're going to miss foul somebody 5 points. Boom, done.
He's probably 60, I don't know, somewhere in the 60s percentage. Yeah, he missed the first one. Okay. So now, best case scenario, I'm pushing on the one. So worst case scenario is what's probably about to happen.
Overtime?
No, they got a block.
And another block.
Oh,
and
what they
call
a foul?
Foul? Up, yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy, this is coming down to it.
Yeah, Shaka does look like Nick Wright. Dustin just said that.
Oh, Bamba's fouled out.
Uh-oh.
Son of a bitch. Sorry, I didn't mean – I guess that's okay to say, but yeah. Yeah, that ain't good. If there is overtime, that ain't good. Oh, man, it looked like a clean block, too.
Man.
So,
In that situation, how do you – well, 3.8 seconds left, is that what it is? And you made that call there? Wow.
Texas does have a timeout, though, so they're probably going to be able to inbound from midcourt. If I were this guy, I don't know. I don't know. If he makes the if he misses the first free throw, then you'll have 3.8 seconds. But yeah, not a great situation now for Texas all of a sudden.
Yeah, they should be able to get a good shot.
And I wouldn't feel great about overtime without your best player.
Yeah.
That's not ideal.
No. Well, okay, so thank you. They're not they're not going to win by 5 unless it goes to overtime, though. For my prediction to be right. And, of course, I also said Bamba would carry him, and he can't now because
he will no longer be carrying them.
In fact, he's going to be sitting on the bench.
Yes. That's the opposite of carrying.
Drinking a Slurpee.
That's the opposite of carrying them.
So
he's no longer going to be.
So I'm just going to say a little bit off on my prediction.
Okay, it happens.
Not ashamed to admit it. Not on my game right now. I think it's getting old.
That's what's happening. Like you think
I'm getting old.
You're off your game because of that.
Yeah, okay. Old age. I think it's pretty much time for me to start considering retirement.
It could be.
All right, we're going to take a break. We are live here at Prime Social Club on Westheimer, and. I also just kind of want to point out, like, if you have if you're a lady who plays poker and your guy doesn't, he can go sit at the bar. Or if you're a guy who plays poker and your girlfriend wants to come, she can sit at the bar. We'll be right back with RJ Bell, and we'll let you know what's going on with Texas when we return. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Prime Social Poker Club on Westheimer. And here's your update. It's a 73-73 tie in overtime.
76-73,
Texas. Just hit a three and a foul. So Texas up three. With 3:12 left to go. So, all right, we bring in the man we bring in this time every Friday, the gambling guru of the universe, RJ Bell. RJ, how are you, my friend?
Excellent. Busy few days, but good stuff.
Yeah, this one time I've never been in Vegas is during the first week of the tourney, and I hear it's amazing. What is it like there in the casinos in this first few, the first round games and second round games?
I would say over an extended period, it's unlike any other time, right? So a big prize fight that night is going to have a different fever pitch, a higher, more intense pitch. Super Bowl weekend, more glamorous, more big money, celebrities. But when it comes to pure degeneracy, the grind, and it's not just games 12 hours a day. To think about that, imagine being in a sports book 12 hours a day for 4 days. But it's that after guys go out, drink, club, sleep 3 or 4 hours, get up to do it again. And when I say get up, they don't get up, maybe miss the first half of the first game and go down at 10:30 Pacific. No, because you won't get a seat. You've got to be there by 6 a.m. So now one day of that, 6 a.m. to midnight, no problem. Day two, day three. Come day four on Sunday, who died. It looks like the aftermath. It looks like one of those movies in the 80s. Remember where there'd be a nuclear attack?
A post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Exactly. And people are just kind of walking around, limited. Some of them, eyes are all burnt up, kind of like that.
So, obviously, there's a lot of money bet on this thing. Compare it to say, the Super Bowl or other big betting events in terms of volume.
Well, when it comes to, on a game basis, Super Bowl's king. But it's pretty amazing to think on Thursday through Sunday, so these first 4 days, Thursday, today, Saturday, Sunday, there's more betting on those college basketball NCAA tournament games than the Super Bowl. So as much as it's just one event, obviously the Super Bowl has all the props. People are betting it for 2 weeks. 4 days of betting, more than the Super Bowl. And when you add up all of March's betting, more than double the Super Bowl. So a lot of people that are not putting any money at risk in February, well, in March, they're betting college basketball.
Obviously, we're getting through the first round here. Are there any tips that you can give people for, say, the round of 32, how that goes in terms of how seeds do and things like that as we move into the next round?
Well, to me, there's two reasons to look at the history of the brackets. Reason number one is, before you fill out your bracket, that's real value, is looking at the history and saying, oh, wait a minute. You know, an example everybody knows pretty much, a 16 has never won. So unless you really want to buck history, which sometimes history is worth bucking, you're not going to have a number one seed lose. Okay. Well, I have 14 other bracket picking rules like that are just as rock solid. And I'll give you a good example. We always talk about 12s tend to win in the first round. 26 out of 29 years has been a 12 that's won entering this year. Now you might say, okay, but what about the second round? They win almost half the time. So if a 12 wins in the first round, they win almost half the time going into the, you know, winning in the second round, going into the Sweet 16. But then they hit a wall. At that point, when you're picking Sweet 16 into the Elite Eight, 11 seeds are better. So forget 12 seeds. Only once since 1985 has there been worse than an 11 seed in the Elite Eight. So how do we convert that knowledge to actionable betting? Well, imagine there's a 12 or a 13 or a 14. They're in the Sweet 16, and now they're, you know, getting 6 points against a much better seed to go to the Elite Eight. Now, are you going to lay the points? Probably not, or maybe not. But, boy, you've got a lot of history that says that favorite on the money line's got value, because that seed above 11 just doesn't make the Elite Eight. Now, we all know history sometimes is made. But I love knowing the history so I can at least assess it.
It's RJ Bell. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And I'm sorry that we didn't get you on in time for you to tell the people your best bet, which turned out okay for you.
Oh, you know, it was a great example, though, with Butler, that it was a 10 seed favorite. And, boy, that's just another tip with the brackets. The next year we'll have to make sure to do Wednesday, but before the brackets are out. But just the idea that you can have Vegas be your partner on these brackets. When you have a 10 seed that's favored, they're going to win more than half the time. And well, most of the people say
Texas,
again?
Texas is about to lose as a favored 10 seed. So they're about to buck the trend a little bit.
What's the score of that game?
It's 84-80 right now in overtime.
Ooh, okay. I actually like Texas there. So
I like
it, and it certainly happens. There's no guarantees, but all you're trying to do, as you guys well know, is get the best of it each game.
That's it.
That's RJ Bell. So the cool thing here is as we look at all this, I'm kind of curious. Do the other tournaments like the NIT, do they get any action at all when people are out there for this, or is that something that people just kind of we're not messing with that? We got NCAA to play.
Well, when it's on an off day, for sure, right? Because everyone's getting in the groove of betting, and then it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, And they do obviously try to schedule heavily on those off days. When there's overlap, a lot less interest, obviously.
I actually played a CIT game last night, Fred. So that's that lets you know how much of a scumbag I am.
Degenerate for a reason.
We always talk about the when going into a tournament, playing whether or not you play future favorites to win or whether you play the mechanical parlays, which you've talked about a lot in the past. At this stage, once we get to the next round, as those odds adjust, if you decide, you know what, I want to start playing this team all the way through, do you do that, or do you look at the unless you're getting a really good price, do you look at the future odds once they've adjusted after round one?
You know, to me, the mechanical parlay concept, so just to repeat that, is you've got a choice, right? You can bet a future bet, so you make one single bet, this team is going to win the tournament, or you can start betting the money line each of the six games, seven if it's a play-in team, obviously, and just let it ride, let it ride, let it ride. And a vast majority of the time, you're going to make more money with those mechanical parlays. Now, another advantage is if you get to, and if it's a big underdog, you might even start hedging out with two games to go. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, you started with 100, you're at 3,000 bucks. So you're in the 30-1 range already, so you had a real long shot, but now they're in the final four. Do you have to bet the whole 3,000 now?
No,
right? You can bet half of it or some portion of it, so you keep letting it ride. But say it again.
And still be profitable.
Yeah, so what you're doing is, if now what you would do if you had, let's say, a 90-1 ticket, is you'd start probably in the final four round betting the other side. But when you bet the other side, you've got to pay commission on another bet, VIG, on another bet. Here, by just withholding it on a mechanical parlay and not letting the full amount ride, you're getting, you're pulling out your profit without having to pay any more commission.
Well, the one thing, like an example of what happened today, I have a future on Purdue, 15-1, and Purdue's second best player broke his elbow today. I don't feel great about that 15-1 ticket right now. If I were doing a mechanical parlay, I mean, I wouldn't have made much betting Purdue money line today, but I would at least be able to get out of there, and I'd rather not have that. I'd rather have $100 in my pocket than have that Purdue 15-1 ticket at this point.
No, I agree, but that cuts both ways, right? Purdue's opponent could have had their key player injured also. Which
right.
means if you were doing them. But that said, the odds of opponent after opponent having something go wrong for them are a lot less than just one team. So I guess that's an interesting concept is you are, you know, it's funny. I had never really thought of that. But though there is risk on the other side, or in this case, not risk, but a chance of upside with the other team being hurt or suspended or whatever. But if it happens to you once in the second round, you've got to pay the, you know, deal with that deficit of that player being out
right.
the rest of the tournament if you have a futures ticket, whereas you can adjust your mechanical parlay accordingly. But then there's one other element, though, is the market's going to adjust for your guy being out. So all of a sudden, let's say Purdue might be favored by 7 in a game. They might only be favored by 4 if it's a key player out. So you're gaining that value. So a lot of ways to look at it for sure. But again, that would give you a chance to consider it. So you're right. I'm going to write that note down and start adding it in the more sophisticated answers.
Well, there you
AJ
go.
AJ credited.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Way to go, AJ. You get credited by RJ now. I'm always fascinated when you send out your perfect bracket odds, the actual numbers of possible combinations. It's just mind-boggling how big that number is.
Yeah, I didn't know, you know, graduated from the Ohio State University, number one in my finance class. So you would think, you know, a lot of math, right? Well, I took three calculus classes, three statistics classes, and I never had heard of a quintillion. So a quintillion is 27 zeros. So it's 9 quintillion or so to one or 9 quintillion possible brackets. Not exactly the odds of a perfect bracket, because obviously favorites are more inclined to win. But the number of possible brackets, 9 quintillion. And here's two quick ways to kind of quantify how big that number is. if one bracket per second were created, so imagine, boom, 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 it would take 292 billion years for all the brackets to be created. And, you know, there's all kind of ways. Like, if you printed them all out, it would circle the globe millions of times. So there's a reason the Warren Buffetts are giving the perfect bracket odds. Now, one fun thing, or the free roll on that, one fun thing I'm doing is after every day's action, and I already did it for yesterday, I'll put out, okay, to now be 32 out of 32, which is what it will be after today, the odds are X. And every round, every day, I'll put those up. And then at the very end, once we have the champion crown, we'll know the true odds based on the Vegas money lines on the games of there being a perfect bracket.
And just a real quick update, Nevada has beaten Texas 87-83 in overtime. So there was a favorite 10 that did not get it done. But, yeah, I mean, those numbers, when you put them in that perspective, I just can't even imagine. It's amazing stuff. All right, RJ, before we let you go, just your thoughts. Do you have a favorite team to win this thing from here besides Ohio State? Since I know you're a big Ohio State guy.
Yeah, well, I root, but I don't bet with my heart. You know that. I gotta tell you, I think the value's on North Carolina. Oof. What?
No, hey, I need people like you betting North Carolina. I need heavy hitters on those guys.
What does that mean? You're not a fan.
I'm a North. I said before the tournament started, whatever team gets put on the other side of North Carolina, whatever 15 or 14 seed North Carolina gets in the first round, whatever the plus number is next to them, I'm taking it, and I'll probably keep riding that wagon and keep fading North Carolina. It worked already once today, so I don't know what number I'll get with Aggie or with Texas A&M, but I'll probably be on the opposite side.
And again, I'm not so much saying each round of the tournament. I just think entering the tournament, if you just played a simple future, 18-1 was out there. And I think one of the most impactful macro handicapping concepts is college basketball. The change from a team early in the year to late in the year is unlike any other sport, especially young teams. And if you look at North Carolina's blended statistics throughout the year, not super impressive, you know, this whole season. If you look the last month, this is a mighty good team. And what we also know is coaching experience in the Final Four and players feeling like, hey, we belong here, so key, so key. The last 29 years, 28 of the champions have been a four-seed or better. You know, as I like to say, Cinderella's invited to the dance, but she's got a curfew. Well, North Carolina, to me, checks all those boxes. And when you do that and you're 18-1, I'm not sure there's another team that does check all those boxes at 18-1 or better.
And just so you know, the line already out on pregame.com. If you go to the game center, they have you covered. North Carolina -6.
Okay, I'll take
against
it.
Aggie.
I'll take Aggie.
Okay. Just passing that
all
on.
Right, well, we'll talk about it next week.
We will.
Yeah, and that's a, by the way, that's just such a cool thing that you guys do at pregame. And for people who might be new to the show, tell them a little bit about the website, because that Game Center, man, I use that religiously to get updated odds, to see where the money's going, and tell people a little bit about that.
In my opinion, and I think it's objectively true, the best free odds and betting data out there, just go to the site, pregame.com, click Game Center, and there's three tabs. One tab's an overview, which is really cool. It has the opener and the current line and a little graph that shows you the way the line has moved in between. Then you go to the odds page, and there's 21 different sports books, so you can get a flavor, the Vegas books, the online books of the odds. But then here's the real differentiator. In the consensus tab, the third tab, you get betting data on every game from multiple major bookmakers. So what happens is it will tell you, hey, there's been 3,000 bets on this game, 59% on the favorite of the bets, but let's say 80% of the money. So it's the only place on the internet of a pregame.com that gives you the cash splits for free on the games. So what's fascinating is, let's just say you see a team has 50% of the bets, the tickets, but 70% of the money. Well, what do you know? You know for sure the big bets are on that favorite. And it could be vice versa. 70% of the tickets, 50% of the cash. Oh, the big bets are on the dog in that case. So by looking at the ticket count, you know where the public is. By looking at the cash count, you know where the pros are. And when you see that contrast, it's very interesting. Because when you do have a pros versus Joes, it's a situation where the public money is helping keep the line in place while the sharps are betting the other side. And that's the big lament anytime you follow sharp money. You're not getting the same line as the sharps got. And that's the key. Well, if the public's going opposite, the line usually will hold in place like a tug of war, right? And it's getting held in place so you can actually know which side is sharp while getting the same number as the sharps.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Great stuff as always, sir. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, like I'm looking at that consensus. 176 grand bet on Texas Southern and Xavier tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
where's the money?
The money is on Xavier.
Okay.
75, well.
What's the number at now?
54% of the cash, 75% of the tickets.
Okay.
So, not huge.
No.
But 19 is your number right now.
Okay, yeah. It got down to 18, popped back up pretty quickly, which means the money probably doesn't want it down any lower than that.
And this is where you can kind of learn stuff. Most of the biggest money being bet right now is on, like, Auburn College of Charleston. Interestingly enough, 74% of the cash is on Charleston.
I'm not surprised at that. I wanted to play that game. I decided not to.
It's 50-50 on the tickets.
Number went down too low for me, but I wanted Charleston.
Yeah, but minus 9 is the number now.
Which is more of an Auburn fade than anything for me. But
yeah, just looking ahead, they do have the odds on Aggie in North Carolina for Sunday. And right now at minus 6 for North Carolina, so... there you go. Plenty of opportunity between now and then to get your bet down on that. But at least you have an idea of where it's going to go. All right, 713-780-ESPN is the number if you want to get in. Out here at Prime Social Club, and the great poker room that they have out here. And a really nice place, very easy to find on Westheimer right next to Molina's. You can't miss it. They had a great tournament today that we participated in. A lot of cash games going on now. I'm seeing, what, 7 tables of cash games happening?
Predictably, the internet is already mad at Shaka Smart, who Shaka Smart, by the way, missed exactly 0 free throws in that game. So I'm not blaming that dude.
Yeah, well, and once Bamba went out, really questionable foul, too. But what are you going to do?
All right, guys, got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. There's a lot of energy providers out there, and there's always a lot of offers. Different offers ranging from free weekends, free days, $600 bonuses. The list goes on, and those all sound good on paper. In theory, they sound good. And you may have fallen for one of those offers, but then months later you find out, wait a minute, this isn't the same rate that I signed up for. I'm paying a higher rate now, or you're getting an additional fee, and that's not what you wanted. Tri-Eagle keeps it simple for you. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN, you'll get an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.